Welcome to Four Chicks Chatting, a womanish podcast that will engage, excite, and empower you as we chat about business and personal development, all with a healthy dose of humor. And now it's time to check in with our chicks, Kathy, Kristen, Mary Fran, and Robin.
Okay, hi everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Four Chicks Chatting. We have an amazing show today. We are talking with a woman who I now consider a friend and who is incredibly good at getting someone like me who has a million ideas and talks a blue streak to just get it down and clarify. She's wonderful. Her name is Dolores Hirschman. I'll tell you a little bit about her. Dolores is a strategist and a coach. She helps clients clarify their idea worth sharing, design their communication strategies, and implement business growth systems. Her clients become speakers and authors and take their messages to larger stages like TEDx and beyond. She works through group coaching workshops, one-on-one coaching, as well as public speaking. Dolores is a writer, TEDx organizer, and a participant in TED conferences. She is a CTI certified and ICF accredited coach and has a business degree from the, I'm going to try to say this, Universidad de San Andres, Argentina.
Whoa.
Good, right? How about that?
Impressive.
Not bad, MFB. Not bad.
Originally from Buenos Aires, Dolores speaks fluent Spanish, English, and French and lives in Dartmouth, Massachusetts, with her husband and four children. Welcome, Dolores. I'm so excited you're here today.
Thank you, Mary. Husband, four children, old dog, and my new puppy called Chica, which means
Chica. Hey, it's the four chicks and the Chica.
And it's
Chica. Yeah, perfect. Actually, she literally
got a mascot now. That's
great. Four chicks and Chica.
Let's call up our merchandise first, and we'll get Chica on a
Chica merch.
Chica merch. All right, so this is what usually happens. We start talking with people, and then we just spiral off. So let's rein it back in right away. And I want to just talk about this idea because it was so important to me when I first met you. And I found you, and full disclosure here, we worked together, and you did help me to put together one of my goals was to be on the TEDx stage, but that is so much harder than it sounds. Mm-hmm. And what you really did was help me to clarify my ideas. So what led you to become, as you call, a chief clarity officer and launch your business, Masters in Clarity?
Well, you know how they say that we spend, especially as service entrepreneurs, we spend hours and days and years wandering around, what should be my thing? What is it that I do? What the heck do I bring to the world? And it feels like, you know, an elephant foot on our chest, and that our business is kind of stuck in our throat. We can't move forward. We're paralyzed. Well, I did that, like all of us do. Mm-hmm. And finally, it came to me that the only thing I've always been really, really, really good at is finding my way out of a mess, like out of a maze, like finding a common thread or a way through literally confusion. Since I was very young, I would just be attracted to conflict or to mess, not, you know, because I could see a way through. Literally, my thing is I can minimize the noise and cut through the crap and get to the essence of things. And so when I spend those years trying to figure out what do I actually do, how do I position, how do I make that LinkedIn list of things that I've done so incredibly eclectic, how can I make those all make sense into a business that actually not only creates financial abundance for myself and my family, but also creates a value proposition that is relevant in the market. And it came down that it was right here. You know, clarity is what I've done all my life. And all I had to do is understand that if that is what I do, what I'm naturally gifted to do, where do I want to put that gift? Which niche? What market? Which audience? And this is true for all of us. We have something that we're naturally gifted to do. We only just have to make it fit in the puzzle of a business.
I love what you talked about just now about this eclectic sort of resume that we all have. And we do, especially as women, like we bring so many different things to the game and to the table. But in the world of business, you really have to know what the heck it is you're trying to give people. Like, what exactly is it? And because people's attention spans are so short, break it down. And that's what
you do. I've had people for years until I got my stuff together, I would have people say, you know, I really like you and I would love to work with you. I just don't know how I can use you. And it didn't make me very happy that comment, because it made me more frustrated because I knew that there was a role for me. I just, because I couldn't communicate it, the other person couldn't say yes because I wasn't even asking a question.
It's really interesting because when you started talking, I kept thinking, you're the Marie Kondo of mental space. Like, you clear out the clutter and bring it down to what is going to bring value to your client. And we all need that. I mean, I would say that, I don't know, don't you other three agree that we've all kind of struggled with how to clarify what it is we're bringing to the table?
Us struggle with clarity?
Seriously? I beg your
point. We met. We spark joy every 57 milliseconds with everything.
I'm working on a project for 2020. I'm going to build the Clarity Summit because what I've learned, Mary and Kristen and Kathy and Robin, that what I end up doing. So the problem comes is like, okay, that's great, right? I can help people with clarity. But how many people can I help at one time? Like, you know, I can only, you know, clean one closet at a time, right? Well, wrong. One of the things I'm figuring out is that now that I understand how people have their messy closets, if you want to use the Marie Kondo analogy, is I'm creating frameworks for getting out of our maze. So I've created a clarity framework to understand what's up with our business and where do I need to focus. I've created clarity frameworks for writing a talk, which you have used, Mary.
Yes.
You know, the framework of the paint by numbers of my TED talk, it actually works.
Mm-hmm. It does.
And then I created a framework for shifting through our internal closet when we are feeling like, okay, I can't function anymore, or I'm incredibly stuck, or I'm lost within myself, or I've lost my mojo. You know, there's a clarity framework for that. And basically, this is, you know, we all play and experiment and put things out. And the more I put these frameworks out, the more I realize that, one, they all work together for my clients because they're either speaking, so they need a clarity of speaking framework. They're probably in business or work or leading a team. And we all have our own selves to deal with. If we're a human being, we have a human soul, and it's usually cluttered.
Yeah, exactly.
I love what you're saying. And in my business, because I do personal branding, I talk a lot with my clients about identifying their niche, because if they are a jack of all trades or a Jill of all trades, nobody can figure out what they do or how they can help them. So that's like our first step when I'm working with a branding client. So I love what you're saying, because I think we do all have a lot going on in our mind. And so many of us are multi-talented. So it's finding that ability to identify with how you can best serve. Because once you do that, like you said, I think you find, you know, your soul and your heart and everything's involved. So you can find that inner peace with what you do. And then you can serve more people versus serving, you know, a lot of people, but only serving them part way.
Yeah, and think about it. And when you do that, it actually opens a huge business, because I have four kids, so I've read a lot of children's books. And you know the book, If You Give Your Mouse a Cookie?
Yeah.
So here's what I've learned. If you give my client clarity, they will want to speak. So I get them to speak. If you give my client clarity, they will want to write a book. So we do ghostwriting now because I built an agency. If you give my client clarity, they will want to have an online learning platform. We actually build those for our clients now. And so on and so forth. So one of the things that happened, well, I am known for clarity and getting people to communicate effectively. My company now has built a whole section called the Masters in Clarity Agency. And we actually take that clarity from our clients that, that want to go deeper, and we do the work for them. Because what was happening is that clarity is almost like happiness. You have it 1 second, and then the next one you lost it.
Well, me. Yeah.
Oh, you're preaching to the choir.
And so what was happening is my clients got it. Like, okay, I got my clarity. I know what I'm doing. And then they would hire like a web developer. We do websites too. Or then they will hire a ghostwriter. And they would bring all their thoughts into it and get them all confused again. And yeah. Never really finish those projects and spend a bazillion of dollars. And then they were my clients. They had the clarity. And I would say, how's your website going? Oh, well, I'm not so sure anymore of how I present myself. And my web developer suggests that, you know, everybody has their own theories, right? And so these actual tangible results of clarity were being delayed and taken months and months to realize because there was a loss in translation. So now we keep it all in-house.
I feel like this is the mothership. It's like the Kristen Smedley Clarity Project.
I think we all need to sign up like yesterday. Yeah. Sign me up.
That's exactly what happens to me. All the ideas, and then I get laser focused, and then the squirrel comes through, and I'm like, what was that life changer that I was doing yesterday?
Yeah. And how many times you wake up and you say to your husband or his partner or whatever, it's like, I got it. I know what I'm doing. And then you start and develop a product, right? And then you sit back and say, no, I don't have it.
What the heck am I doing? I know what I'm doing. What am I doing? Those two things are so much a part of every conversation in my head all of the time. But I think what you're talking about, you hit on so much there for people, because when you have that clarity, it's a wonderful gift, but then executing that clarity in a way that is of service to your market, and there's so many pieces to that puzzle, you know, the website and the social media and the product design and all that other stuff. And it can be so overwhelming and confusing when you get involved in the pieces of those that you do end up losing sight of what the heck you're doing.
So how do you prioritize that? How do you fix that?
So there's a process. So when my clients come to me, there is actions that need to be taken. Let's just frame this. We're talking service entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And we're talking service entrepreneurs, for the most part, in businesses that are very close to their purpose or their passions, right? We can talk about accountants or lawyers could be different. But anyway, these kinds of service entrepreneurs, where we're really looking to put our gifts in service of the world and make money doing it. And so there are layers of clarity that need to be revealed and actions we need to take for every stage of growth. And when I say growth, I mean revenue growth. So from 0 to 50, there's only this much you need to know about your work and this much you need to do. From 50 to $100,000 a year, there's a little bit more. From $100,000 to 200, there's a little bit more. What happens is that most business coaches go and say, you need a website, a platform, a podcast, a signature talk, a book, and blah, 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 to sell the first package.
And then you're crawling under the bed.
And you go to bed. I don't go to bed. Like, forget it.
Yeah.
And this woman reached out to me. She said, you know, I'm doing well. I need all of this because I was talking about my service. So I said, okay, we can do all that. So I sent her, like, I think it was a $50,000 proposal. Yeah, she wanted a ghostwriting book. She wanted a website. She wanted an online learning platform. She wanted to be put on a stage. And I don't know what else she wanted. Yeah, I mean, you're buying the house with all the furniture and 50 rooms. You can do that. And I said, well, I can give you a proposal. And I said, you don't need this, because if you actually, even if you had the money to buy that, you will be stunting your growth if you were to implement all those things at the same time. Because it is a learning process and a building, it's modules. So what would I say to someone from 0 to 50? Get really clear on the difference you want to make in someone's life. And then go out there and talk about it wherever you go. Don't build a website. don't start a podcast. Just go to birthday parties. Just go to every girls' night out you can find. Find a networking event and show up. And when someone says, you say, well, I fix this problem. And lead with the outcome. Lead with the problem that people resolve, or people want to solve, and that you solve. And all you have to do is do that and just watch as people start coming to you.
You just made me lose about 20 pounds.
Because
it's so opposite of what everybody says. Everybody says you need to have this presence on social media, on the web, on blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, I can't. So I'm a talker. So I talk about it.
How could, even if you had the money to pay the person, you wouldn't know what to tell them to post.
And you're spread too thin. And then all your stuff is crap.
It's all crap.
And or your house is crap.
Or your children. No, but
does anybody see the children?
Yesterday, maybe.
You never, what happens is you never go deep enough within yourself to really learn about yourself.
Because that's scary, Dolores.
I know, it's so much easier to have a problem and say I can't do it.
Yep, that requires work. That requires some tears. People don't want to do that.
Yeah, well, I'd rather hire a coach who has gone to hell and back up 50 times.
Yeah.
than hire a coach with a cheeky life.
The cheeky life. Yeah.
Exactly. That's
it's
exactly
the truth.
Right.
Because nobody has that. And then that's when you really get the most impact from somebody, like you can tell with you, because it is so incredibly intrinsic inside of you that you get it.
Yes. Yeah, she does. I have to say.
I started five freaking companies before. That red thing, that logo, was a clothing company I ran for 5 years. It was a women's helping women initiative. And I did Miami Fashion Week and blah, 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 blah. I knew exactly what I was doing. I learned a lot about business during that company. Then I started a language school, which I ran for 5 years because I have 4 children and I wanted to raise them bilingual. And my mom, smartly so, said, Dolores, why don't you just freaking hire a tutor? Why do you have to start a school with 150 students, 6 teachers and 3 languages, because it's not Chinese and French, because why not, right?
You're going to do one. You may as well do 3.
Chinese.
Here anyway.
Because everybody's talking that.
Can my mom call your mom? My mom's going to want to talk to your mom and have a support group. My mom's going to say, what in the hell are we taking on now? She just said it to me yesterday. I'm going to Skype with all these classrooms across the country. And she was like, can we do your taxes?
Yeah, my mom is like, can we just make cookies tonight? But when your kids come from school?
No, then they have to go to language school. They don't have time for cookies.
The language school story is actually funny because I was working full time. I mean, I had 4 children and they went to school and the babies were home. And so my full time was in the house with all the kids. I was the Latin American sales manager for a company. And so my oldest started first grade and the second one was started kindergarten. And I realized, oh my God, these kids need to learn how to read and write in Spanish. And I need to do this. And so, of course, it would have been too easy to sit them in the afternoon with me with a little book and do that, right? That I had to invite 5 of their best friends to come to my kitchen 3 afternoons a week, 2 hours each day. They paid me like $20, but still. So 3 afternoons a week for a whole year, I had 9 children, 4 of mine and 5 extras in the kindergarten first grade level.
Oh, no.
And I even did the end of the year little show.
What? You put on a show? Oh, my God.
In my living room with all the parents.
I swear to God, we are related. I swear to Jesus, we're related. All you need now is soccer jerseys on them and send them out into a soccer game.
That was my first year, and I said, and people kept calling and said, "Send you my child," and I was like, "Please don't."
So what you're telling us is you needed Masters in Clarity more than anybody else, and that's why you started the whole thing.
Yeah, because I was like, you know, F this.
What am I doing? That is
I'm sorry, Mary. We will not get a serious conversation out of this, but
this is the perfect
we rarely do.
Conversation. Yeah. Because you know what? This reflects every woman's reality. It really does. It reflects every woman's reality. And like the fact that you went through so many different incarnations, sometimes I feel like we discount that as, oh, I just didn't know what I was doing back then. But all of it had value at different points in your life. And we have to recognize that, you know, all of it is okay. All of it led to a certain thing. So, okay, you did that, you did that, you did that. So what do you want to do now? What have you learned from all those things that you can clarify into something that you want to gift the world with now? So I love your stories.
So here's another angle to this, and I think it's important to say, I'm grateful and I was privileged enough that I could play with my businesses and that I didn't have to take life very seriously. By the way, I don't think we should take life seriously anyway. I think everything is fun, and even the most serious situation, you have to find the humor in it. But I was always second fiddle income, meaning my husband was a main income earner, and I was able to play and explore and learn and expand and invest in my business. You know, every penny I did, I could put it back in. I was so lucky. Now, every good story has its own ending too.
I'm on the edge of my seat.
And I know.
And so December 2016, only two years and a quarter. So my husband forever worked in his family business, successful family business. And as any family business, the transition had begun. His father was retiring and he was president and it was all good. But it wasn't that good because his father realized there's a lot of backstories there, but basically his father said, whoa, I don't like this retirement thing. Mm-hmm. And came back and it became a whole mess. And to make the story short, they went at each other. And December 2016, my husband looked at me and he said, I don't know how I'm getting out of this mess. But as of January 1st, you are like, tag, you're it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, whoa. Whoa, I said. He's like, and I remember it was December. He said, you always wanted to grow your business. You love your work. You're so good at it. People adore you. You always wanted more time. You're going to have all the time. I'll do everything. I'll do the laundry. I'll do everything. You just go and do, you know, your thing. And I remember looking at him and said, whoa, I never meant it.
I was all taken back.
Rewind.
I don't want to tweet that.
I want to be a housewife. And literally, I spent the month of December with the covers over my head, crying. Man, it's complicated. We actually are in a full lawsuit. And I'm sharing with a lot of humor because we have gone through the darkest storms in the last 2 years and a quarter. And if we had had this interview a year and a half ago, we would have all been crying. but it's just
timing is everything, girls.
I've gotten more perspective, and the truth is that December, I cried the whole month. And some people, I mean, I'll share my, because I think some people can relate. For whatever reason in my head, probably, you know, from my past or whatever stories I have running my internal show, my vision of my future was like, oh my God, I'm going to live under a bridge with my four children. Mm-hmm. That's where my head went. I mean, from a nice little pretty big house to under a bridge. There wasn't like an intermediate.
Nothing in between.
There wasn't even a rental condo.
You were going to be paying the trolls rent.
I would like to under a bridge in the winter in Massachusetts.
Nothing spark and joy. Nothing under the bridge spark and joy.
Which my best friend from Argentina is like, yeah, you would be a very posh homeless in your mom's Upper East Side house in Argentina. Like, she lives in But anyway, but that's where my mind went. And for the month of that December, I literally played the victim movie over and over and over and over again. And I said, this is what I was saying to myself. I said, well, my business is a passion business. I can't just turn on a faucet and get clients. It was going to destroy it. We're going to all die and everything's going to, like, it was
we're
like,
all gonna die.
It was just a dark thing. And then January 1st came and I asked myself, okay, I have two choices. I either get my shit together or we all go down. I mean, that's just all it was. I was prone to growth. I had a small business, but it had reached the $100,000 a year level, which is an accomplishment. I did that in 3 years. And I knew based on the, and I'm just giving you numbers to give you perspective, based on the circumstances of my home with four children and a mortgage and two cars or three cars because I had a driver kid, I had to make $20,000 a month to keep status quo. I was making about 10 and not consistently. And I woke up January 1st and I said, gotta do this. And so, make the story short, I did make it on January 30th and I did make it on February and I did make it on March and blah, blah, blah. And here I am 2 years and more and I'm still making it. But here's the thing, Mary, when we're talking about clarity is that at some point, necessity is the best thing that can happen to your confusion.
Yeah, that's so true.
I had no choice but to say, this is my path. And all I have to do is like, it's almost like if I'm a grocery store and I just have to sell more tomatoes, or a shoe store and I sell more shoes. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not going to create more products because that's not what I need to focus right now. I'm not going to redo my website because it's okay. And I'm not going to like do anything. I'm going to just turn up the volume and do more of what I'm already doing.
And what you're good at and what you know is successful.
Exactly. And I have to say what kept me through that month was, I mean, I was literally hopping on my clients' calls. Some of my clients I have the best clients. Mary Fran is one of them. But I have like the yummiest people in the world. And I would literally coach one of my clients and then we will finish the coaching and I will melt down and she or he will hold me and we'll say, breathe. You got this. By the way, I have a referral. You got this. And then off to another call. And I would continually do that. And I was I couldn't hide my situation because I'm very bad at lying, but two, I was just wearing it on my face. I mean, I was hopping on a call and trying to put on some makeup, but they were like, what's up with you? Because that's just what I was doing. I still was an amazing coach and I was still able to deliver the value they needed. I was just wearing my heart on my sleeve. And what happened is that I believe, and I get emotional when I think about it, I was held by the community I was already building. Mm-hmm. And it was just, here I am. And every morning I would tell myself in the mirror, I would say, I support the people that support my family. Every single day, I said, I support the people that support my family. And on I went. And I am so grateful for the lawsuit.
Somebody tweet that.
Oh my gosh. You touched on something that is so intrinsic to what we talk about the whole idea of your tribe and using your, you know, relying on your people. And at different points, everybody needs to lift each other up.
Yes.
And that's what it is. We're all lifting each other up. And from the first time I met you, Dolores, I just thought, I just need to continue to stay in touch with this woman. But here's the thing. I didn't have to make that effort because you did that over and over and over again in terms of touching base and how are you and what's going on and blah, blah, blah. And you're just, your warmth comes through in what you do and your authenticity, it's another word that we love around here, and your genuine, you know, your genuine concern about helping people. And that is so important when you bring that to the table. And I think just because of who you are, you naturally show people the importance of that in their own lives and in their own work and bringing your genuine self to whatever it is you're doing.
We're all in this together. I mean, whether I'm guiding and you're following, or you're guiding and I'm following, it's just a dance. And I mean, I teach, you know, I have workshops throughout the year and I have different topics and they repeat every year. In June, I teach a workshop which is about sales and marketing, but I call it trust funnels. I don't talk about sales funnels. I talk about trust funnels because I honestly believe, and this is not just for service entrepreneurs, it's for any business, is that the sale of a service or a product is a natural harvesting of a trust-based relationship.
Absolutely.
That's it. If you have established that kind of relationship, the moment someone buys or commits to working with you is because they now are clear that they have the need that you solve. And because you have that relationship, they would not hesitate but to work with you. It may be that they didn't really have that need, or they had it but they couldn't see it or didn't want to see it or whatever it is. I have a woman who's talking with our sales team today. And I saw her in the condo. I was like, wow, like, where did she come from? And she's someone I met 7 years ago in a different life, kind of before I started this business. And I saw her in the calendar and there's a questionnaire and she answered, you know, how did you find about us, or how did you come to book a call? And she's like, oh, I've been following the emails for 6 years.
Yeah.
I went and actually looked at the, you know, you can look in your email provider, you know, the record of her actions on how she engaged with the emails. And it just happened to be that the last email I just sent hit a chord. And so why do we do all the social media and emails? People do them, but they have no clue why. You gotta understand what is the point and purpose of it. And it's all about the game of building trust. It's just like dating. You cannot go out on a date with someone and have him disappear for 5 years and then call you and say, do you want to get married? It doesn't work. But that's what most of entrepreneurs are doing. Send you an email. Do you want to buy it?
That's what a lot of single women are doing too. They're hoping that in 5 years, the guy's going to come back and marry them. They wonder why match.com isn't working for them.
Wow. Oh boy, we went. Sorry, my friend.
Oh my gosh, this is the best conversation. I would think that we would all agree with that.
Great.
I do want to pivot. The girls know this is one of my favorite words. Pivot.
To your
TEDx and your TED Talk expertise. And you know, the reason that I initially came to you was for that, the whole idea of clarity in that, you know, it can be no more than an 18-minute presentation, and you really need to clarify what it is that you're saying and all. How did you get involved in that world? How did that come about for you?
That's another story. I'll tell you a story. So I got involved in that work originally when I was working with somebody else. He had a small consulting firm and I was collaborating with him, and we came up with, we wanted to do something in our community, and we said, oh, why don't we try this? And I went out and made that happen with him in 2012. And then I got hooked into the TED environment and became a participant of the main TED conferences and started networking just because I was intrigued, but mostly because clarity is my thing. But ideas is the sandbox I always want to play. I've always played in that sandbox. I love innovation and I love the creative process of solving old problems in new ways, basically. That's who I am. And so that's how I became involved originally. And then I became a coach. I became a coach because I was a consultant and I was working with a group, and I realized I could talk strategy until people were blue in their face. I couldn't make them do it. So I was missing the human component. So I went back to school, became a full coach, so I can coach all your no's. and then I can strategize your yeses. But when I came out of coaching school, I don't know if one of you is an actual coach, but if you were trained in a traditional coaching school, what happens is when you walk out, you become a coach. And everything you knew before is gone because you want to be this blank canvas for your clients. It's great. It's a perspective. So I became a coach, and anything that I had done in the past didn't come to play because I was just going in the place of the agenda is the clients and I don't know anything. It's all the client has the right answer and all that. And I did that for about 2 years and I loved it and I was good at it, but I was a little bored because what happened is that I could see the opportunity for my client or where they could go. But I wasn't given the permission to go in as a strategist because I wasn't hired for that. And so I was bored and I asked myself, what would I do for free all day long? And just as I was asking myself that question, a group of people here approached me and they knew I had done the TEDx and they also knew that I had stayed involved with the organization and that I was eligible for a license to hold a really big event. Not everybody can because you have to be part of their workshops and whatever. And so anyway, they approached and said, would you consider leading a big TEDx here in our community? And I was like, okay, let's think. And anyway, we built a team and then we started looking for a venue, and the biggest theater in town, 1,200 seats, came to us and they said, what do we need to do to make us choose us? We won't charge you.
But that helps.
Wow, that never helps.
But I remember sitting with my team, the team that they had gathered themselves to work with me on this. And I said, guys, we were kind of thinking of like a 300 people event, like, you know, are you in for 1,200? Like 1,200 butts is 1,200 butts.
There's a tweet.
On chairs.
I'm tweeting that. 1,200 butts.
1,200 butts.
1,200 butts. And so anyway, we said yes. And so in volunteer, because TEDx is all a volunteer thing, in doing that project, one, because we didn't really have much of a budget and I wanted to try it out, I coached every single speaker that first year in 2015. I actually coached them privately because I didn't even have a process. So I was just learning. And I think each client, let's say that each speaker had at least 5 hours of my time, times 16, that's a lot of hours.
Wow.
I'm not gonna do the math, but that's a lot of hours. And what I learned doing that was how much I loved the process of getting the stuff in their head narrowed down to one idea. Because when you ask a speaker, what is the idea you wanna share with your audience? Likely you will get a, let me tell you about my work and how I came to it. And you're going to sit there for about 20 minutes. And that doesn't cut it. Because if they can't even explain the idea in less than 20 minutes, they won't be able to give a talk in less than 18.
Yeah.
And so that process just revealed a whole area of a whole skill where I could put my clarity that I didn't know I could do that. I didn't know I was good at that. And so it was right after that event that someone found me online as a TEDx organizer, and he called and he said, can you help me get on a TEDx stage? And I said, well, I don't know how to do that. But and he's like, but you can try.
All right.
This is my dear client, Dr. O'Keefe. And I said, I don't guarantee anything. He's like, I'm cool with that. Just tell me what you charge and we'll just see what happens. And so that was how I started helping someone get positioned to get selected on a stage. Because I don't have any magic. I don't have any ins with the organizers. I just help someone, like Mary Fran took my program, and then she did the actual work of applying to speak and get selected, which does just how it works.
I think you just hit on something there, Dolores, because you said Mary Fran did the work. And she didn't only do the work to apply, but she did the work that it took to really hone in on her topic and then create the speech. So I think, you know, a lot of times people think, oh, I'm going to hire this person and they're going to do it for me and everything's going to be easy and peachy clean and I'm going to make money. And that's not how it works. We have to put in the work in order to make it successful. So, you know, it's not all on your shoulders.
It's not. We actually do. We do have a service now that we do all the work.
The client
still has to do that. We work with them with clarifying the message. You know, that has to be done with the client. But we actually, the work that Mary Fran did, and Mary Fran, how many applications did you send to get selected?
Oh, good Lord. I don't know. I lost count after
more than 10.
Oh, yeah. You just keep sending and sending.
It's a numbers game.
So it is.
That game, we now do it for our clients.
Oh, that's cool.
But, we charge a lot of money, but we do it and it has results.
But what you don't do, and I think what Robin was referring to, was you don't clarify. It's up to them to clarify.
I guide them, right.
They have to figure it out. And I have to say, you know, the implications of this for me went so far beyond the whole TEDx thing, because in my presentation, my TEDx talks were such a small portion of what I started with you, because I wanted to tell them everything, and it just doesn't work that way. And that the consequence of that was for me that in going back and looking at what I'm trying to do and how I'm trying to present myself as a speaker and all that, you have to start with something small. You have to start with that one idea. You have to start with the essence of what it is that you're trying to do for people. And then you can bring all these other bits and pieces in because they support your work, but you have to be so definitive on what it is you're trying to say and do. And that was a huge lesson for me because
it was a tipping point for you too.
It was.
That was a tipping point in the, if you look at MFB's journey and where her, you know, like she always had this great success and then it went bazingo because of that clarity. I mean, the same thing happened for me when I was, you know, my situation, I had the lawsuit. I'm still in the lawsuit. I was pushed off a cliff. I was totally pushed off a cliff.
Not literally. She wasn't literally pushed off a cliff.
No, but I was.
But you're in a lawsuit too?
Well, divorce lawsuits. My husband left and then I was like off the cliff with no parachute with my kids and all. And luckily a TEDx came into my existence at the worst time in my whole life. You know, there I am trying to narrow down a 2-hour speech into 18 minutes and sobbing through the whole process. But like Mary Fran said, everything after that, that I found that one thing I have two blind kids is my background, and I just wanted no mom to ever sit on the couch and cry about that again. Mm. Right. So that was the heart of the message, the idea to spread. And I redid my book when I was writing the book too, and redid the whole thing, and it's resonating miles and miles beyond where I thought it would, because I got so clear on what I wanted. And you know what was hard for me though, and maybe you have some strategies on this, Dolores, pushing out all the advice in air quotes, all the suggestions, all the people saying, well, you can't just talk to the mom that's sitting on the couch crying. You should also be bringing in this audience. And I was like, I can't. I actually just didn't have the capacity to handle it all. But it's pushing all of those recommendations out and staying focused on clarity.
Yes. And so that's why, you know, what is my recommendation there is that and I can't say it enough or stress it enough, is that we cannot do anything if we don't have internal clarity. Mm-hmm. If we don't know where we stand and we don't trust this, every single piece of advice or feedback that people give us is should be a gift to us. And we should take it as we take a gift, or as someone trying on a dish, right? You take the dish and then you taste it a little bit and you say, does it fit my body? Like if you have an allergy that you don't know you have, you taste a little bit, your body says, hell no. Mm-hmm. You respect that hell no, you don't try peanuts again. Mm-hmm. So that internal clarity is our compass and our anchor. And once you own that, you just have to be a steward of your own gut and not let anybody or anything step on your intuition ever.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. It's so funny listening to you too, because one of my best friends in the world was here yesterday and she's from Argentina. You guys sound so similar. And she actually is now this mega guru in the vegan world. And it came to her by accident. She went through bankruptcy. She had this heart and she had a stroke. And because of the stress, Sylvia Lucci, but she had a stroke and couldn't afford to go to the hospital in an ambulance. And her husband, who's a chef, decided that they had to change everything and get her healthy and got her. She doesn't even have any residual stuff from that stroke. And she went fully vegan. And that saved her life, her family, and now this business of vegan stuff in the city of Philadelphia. They're like in this big takeover. And she was here. So I was taking pictures of her vegan burger because she didn't like how the photographer did them. So we had a photo session with this burger and we talked about how, you know, we both had these cushy lives where we could play around in what we wanted to do. And we were at the PTO and did all this fun stuff and coached all the teams. But then when we fell off the cliff, we really had to get the engine going. And we only see each other maybe once every 3 months because we're both so busy and gaining such success. But we talked about all this stuff that came out of the most horrific situations.
Yeah. Yes. And I honestly believe, guys, we get our chick power. You know, those storms just get our chick power. And it is incredibly, our chick power is beautiful. It's sexy. It's strong. It's inspiring. And it really, you know, I have my neighbors and friends, which I don't run into so much because I'm always in my office. But I get like friends who say, I know what you went through. And I just want you to say, I just read your emails and they just say, just keep going. Just keep going. Just like, it's just beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
It is.
Chick well, power. I think I like we could probably talk to you for quite literally days. I think we probably could talk to you for days. But I think we need to wind this up, unfortunately. But what I want to do...
Before we do that, can I read you guys something? Because I think this is what we are. This is my Ideapreneur Manifesto. And I just want to read it to you because I think you'll love it. It's over there.
Go.
And I can send you a picture of this. You want to put it? But
yeah, please. Yes, put it on our show notes.
We are ideapreneurs, entrepreneurs committed and in love with ideas to change the world, right? That's my theory. So the Ideapreneur Manifesto, we are creative, compassionate, and lovers of life. We have ideas all day, big and small. Mm-hmm. We don't hoard them. We take action on the ideas we are called to serve, and we are generous in releasing the rest of the ideas out into the world. We are focused, determined, clear, and driven to serve our idea, the one we commit to and the one we leave as a legacy. We are relentless in the pursuit of the support, network, spark, and love for our idea to take flight. We are the wind behind the wings of change. We believe with all our hearts, our soul, and our mind that the ultimate goal is positive impact. We believe in the creative process of turning our idea into a product, service, or program for positive in the world. We embrace the right, are willing to play big, even if we feel small. We are scared to speak up, but we grab the microphone anyway. We are grateful for the challenge and wake up daily to the opportunity. We wake up expecting the miracle, the sign, the magic that shows up in our life simply because we have said yes to our idea.
Wow.
I love that. That's awesome.
What I do.
Please send that. I need that over my bed.
Yeah, I'm actually going to create some big posters and I'll have it. I'm going to sell them on my website.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, we will definitely look forward to that. And you also are offering a free download. Tell us about that and tell us where people can find you.
So the best place for people to find me is mastersinclarity.com. And when you get to that, you're going to see a big button that says free resources. And there's a few. There's an ebook you can download about TED and TEDx. You probably have read, my friend. And the download, this one that I'm offering, is Stand Out the TED Way. It's basically using the strategies to get selected for a stage. Play with those strategies in your market using the same process of getting really clear on your idea so that you can stand out in your marketplace and above all of the noise.
I love that. I can't tell you how much we have. I think I can probably speak for all of us, although we try not to do that, and just say how much we enjoyed this conversation. It was so much fun.
It's beautiful.
You're full of clarity and life and genuine warmth. And we just got so much out of this, and I know our listeners will too. So thank you, Dolores Hirschman. Go to mastersinclarity.com. You will find out all of Dolores's amazing tips and wonderful stuff. We'll put all this in our show notes. Anybody have any last minute thoughts for Dolores before we wind up?
Thank you for being you and for being such an inspiration.
Yeah. And for bearing your soul to us and our listeners. I mean, to see your journey unfold or to hear your journey unfold is magnificent. And I think it's a big inspiration for other people to do the same.
And you know, thanks for being a giver, Dolores. I mean, you just gave so much to us, and you clearly give so much to the people that you work with. And we all are appreciative of givers, because if the world was more like that, then imagine the progress. So thanks so much for that.
Well, I just want to say thank you, because you guys made my day. I had an amazing time, and I really appreciate when I'm giving the space to just be me. So thank you.
Well, we appreciate you. And that wraps it up for another episode of Four Chicks Chatting. Find us on that social thing. When this show airs, you will find all sorts of information on our show notes, links and everything to everything that Dolores spoke about. Check us out, and we will see you next time.
Thanks for listening to our chicks. Want to learn how to create your own chick chat? Head to our website, chickschatting.com. Be sure to join our chats on that social thing, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.